Good morning, everyone. You've been dutifully and plentifully good morninged. Welcome to this week's contemplative service. If any of you are new, this is something that we do at the last Sunday of every month, a time to slow down and let things sink in a little bit deeper. So there will be times of silence and times of contemplation, a little bit of speaking, but apart from our normal services, there won't be a time of worship, although contemplation is a form of worship, I think. We don't have announcements this morning. I think I could direct you all to either our website or the app, and anything you need to know about us can be found there. And I don't see any kids, but if there were any kids, I would dismiss them at this point. And, a kid. And welcome any who were in fifth grade who are now being promoted to the blend. I see none of them either, but they would have been welcome had they come. So, last month in our Contemplative Sunday, Wayne introduced us to a breath prayer that I've been sitting with all month. And it has a bit of a double meaning, or maybe even a treble meaning. And the breath prayer went like this. When you inhale, you say, "You are." When you exhale, "I am." And this breath prayer is an affirmation of the words of Exodus 3, 13 through 15. Then Moses said to God, "If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, 'I am sent you.' The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations." Let's take a moment of silence and use these words as a breath prayer. As you inhale, your words are, "You are," speaking of the I am of God. And when you exhale his name, "I am." You are, I am. This phrase, "You are," also speaks of who I am in the context of God. Creator to beloved creation. God is, and I am, God's beloved. Acts 17, 24 through 28 says this, "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he's not served by human hands as if he needed anything at all. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out to him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us." Let's sit for a moment with another breath prayer. As you inhale, you are God, and as you exhale, I am your beloved. You are God, I am your beloved. Give us the strength to gather our fragmented selves and be drawn to the place within our souls where you have established your dwelling. Let us find you there and allow us to feel your presence. You who are closer to us than life itself, and you who have created us and intend for us to quickly enter into this place of loving intimacy with you. Let's pray the breath prayer a third time, but a bit differently once again. This time, as you inhale, say the name that God gave us to use, Yahweh, as a representation of acknowledging and being present with the God who gives us his very name and intends that we would meet him in intimacy. We'll take in his name and at the same time take in his character. And then as you exhale, say, Beloved, from that place within us where God dwells, our very being emanates. Our belovedness, we live, we move, and we have our being in that reality. Feel the release as you breathe out the word, Beloved. So again, as we inhale, Yahweh. As we exhale, Beloved. Of thought, how have we strayed so far from seeing ourselves as who we really are at the core, as the beloved of God? And I want to share with you today a facet of the diamond, and in this particular facet, it's not embraced by all of Christianity. In fact, some would call it heresy, but it's something to consider at least, and honestly, I like it. Pelagius was a desert father who lived in the late 300s, and he disagreed with the notion of original sin. He thought that as a baby is born into this world in the image of God, it contained the original unsullied goodness of creation and humanity's essential blessedness. That when God looks at that brand new baby, he says, it is good. It is very good. And at the heart of humanity, there is the image and goodness of God, a goodness that is obscured almost immediately and covered by the practice of wrongdoing. However, deeper than any wrong in us is the light of God, the light that no darkness can ever overcome. For Pelagius, evil was more like an occupying army, and redemption, therefore, is a setting free, a releasing of what we essentially are, the beloved creation of a good, good God. Christ brings us such a liberation, an invitation to free the good that is within us. Pelagius believed that our deepest desires are for God and for what is good. But those desires get muddled by what the world offers, which is counterfeit. At birth, we are immediately exposed to the corruption of a world infected by sin and begin to construct our concept of self from that flawed perspective. We construct a self based on what we see around us rather than from what we know that resides within us. Well, that is a way of thinking about it. And again, there are other ways and interpretations, but this one fits well with what we're looking at this morning. And in fact, the heart of spiritual formation or transformation is the journey of liberation and freedom, gently uncovering within our minds and our souls the goodness of God that is the very heart of life, of finding our way home. The prayers that we prayed earlier, "You are Yahweh, I am your beloved," are invitations to become present with ourselves, and a further invitation to live out of that place rather than out of the false images that we have allowed ourselves to pile on top of it. So how do we live in this duality of being in the world yet not of it? And I've come to realize that the things I tend to repress and shun and stuff down in the cracks and crevices of my soul are not enemies. In fact, they're divine invitations. When someone cuts me off on the freeway and I'm incensed and angry, I have a choice. I can lean into the anger and massage it and think all manner of ill will against the rude driver. Or I can recall that I should not be angry and that anger is not of God, so I stuff it down and try to think of something else. Or I can acknowledge those feelings and see them in the light of an invitation of what God wants me to see just got pinged in my soul. The welcome prayer is something that I would like to introduce us to this morning, and some of us are very familiar with it. And quite honestly, the welcome prayer gets mistaught a lot. You can very easily get the message that you're supposed to say, "Oh, yay, anger, I'm so glad you're there." That's not the point. Welcome is you feel a knock on the door and you open and you say welcome because you don't know the invitation of whoever's going to stand there. So when you say the word welcome, it's more of a curiosity than an acceptance. The welcome prayer is based on this poem. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I welcome everything that comes to me today because I know it's there for my healing. I welcome all thoughts, feelings, emotions, persons, situations, and conditions. I let go of my desire for power and control. I let go of my desire for affection, esteem, approval, and pleasure. I let go of my desire for survival and security. I let go of my desire to change any situation, condition, person, or myself. I open to the love and presence of God and God's healing action within. The welcoming prayer consists of three parts or movements. First, we recognize what we're feeling. You allow yourself to feel this moment. What's going on in your body? When the driver cuts you off, where do you feel it in your body? For me, it's right here, the tightening in my chest. Where are you holding tension? What's distracting in your mind? And you sit with that for a moment, just noticing. And you welcome whatever it is that you're experiencing as an opportunity, and you can name it to yourself. And note that the welcoming prayer focuses on the emotional states and reactions. So you may be carrying a cold or allergies right now, and instead of just recognizing that you have a stuffy nose or a sore throat, turn your attention to how these physical changes inspire you emotionally. Are you frustrated? Do they give you a feeling of being drained? Are you fed up with having to deal with sniffing all the time? Next, we acknowledge and welcome these feelings as a means of recognizing God's presence within that situation. We invite God into the moment. A helpful invitation might sound like, Lord, I recognize you're present in this moment too. God, you are here with me in my anxiety. Spirit, you are with me when I am fatigued and frustrated. And the third movement is we let go of a need to control and simply embrace the moment. One way to let go is to release your named sensations to God. God, I give you my tiredness, my fatigue. Spirit, I give you my anxiety. It's too big for me to hold. The end of the welcoming prayer contains this language. I let go of my desire for security and survival. I let go of my desire for esteem and affection. I let go of my desire for power and control. I let go of my desire to change the situation. As I said, sometimes I resist this prayer a bit. When I get angry, it seems like the word welcome isn't quite right. It sounds like a warm, accepting embrace. Oh, anger, so glad to see you. But I don't think that's what's being said here. Rather, it's an acknowledgement of what is true. Oh, hello, anger. I see you. And the fact that it made itself known is an invitation for me to look at a wound that I may bear. What made me angry? What from my past just got pinged when that driver cut me off? So in that sense, I can be glad that it surfaced. When the driver cut me off, it challenged my desire for control, for power, for being on time. When my husband snapped at me, it challenged my desire for esteem and affection. When my boss yelled at me, it challenged my desire for the security of a job that I've held. When my child rebelled, I felt helpless and challenged by my desire to change the situation and to control my child. I realize those desires now in the loving presence of God and invite God to show me what lies underneath. And that's where transformation begins. Well, that was a long explanation, but I want to practice it. So I want you to think of a time this week, in this past week, where you were irritated by something. And do yourself a favor, make it something small. This welcoming prayer is great for the big things, but for the first time, make it something small because, you know, I don't want to decimate you on contemplative Sundays. For practice purposes, we're going to do it in three movements. The first movement will be to recognize your feelings. So as you think of this irritation, try to put yourself back in that place and see if you can remember what it felt like. Where did your body feel the tension? What feelings, what emotions came up in you? Okay? So let's sit with that for a few moments and then I'll come back. The second movement of the prayer is recognizing God's presence. We acknowledge and welcome these feelings as a means for recognizing that God is here and present in all things. Here you're going to invite God into that moment. Hello, God. I recognize that you are present even here. God, you are with me in my anxiety. Spirit, you are with me. Even here. Now, as we sit with these feelings, sometimes there's some anger at God. If you're present, why didn't you do something? And that's a perfectly okay question to bring to God. And if that is the cry of your heart, let it be. Welcome that as well. God does. He already knows it's there. So we'll sit for a few moments and recognize God's presence in the midst of your irritation. See what surfaces and welcome it. See what surfaces and place God in that very spot. the final movement of the welcoming prayer is letting go. There's different ways of letting go, aren't there? One image that I like to hold is that I'm holding tightly, but that which I'm holding on to is actually binding me. And so, gently, I begin to release, but it's still in my hands. Freedom does not come until I break the binding and let it go. So as we go back to your irritating moment, we're going to go through the final words of the welcoming prayer slowly. And I want to do it in a different way, using that technique of palms up with finches clenched, with fists clenched, relaxing it and letting it go as we say each one of the phrases. So I think the words are on the screen. Yes. So let's say them together. I let go of my desire for power and control. I let go of my desire for affection. I let go of my desire for esteem, approval, and pleasure. I let go of my desire for survival and security. I let go of my desire to change any situation, condition, person, or myself. I open myself to receive the love and the presence of God and God's healing and action within. Amen. Let's close this segment by returning to our breath prayer. Yahweh, beloved. Take another few moments in silence, and I'd like you to just sit with what may have surfaced in you. Is this a practice that you may find helpful somewhere down the line? Then remember it. Is it a practice that you found difficult or not helpful? Then let it go. But keep it in your back pocket for a later time, because you never know when it might be. We'll sit in a few moments, and then I'll invite the ushers to come up when I get back up to serve communion. Some of you may be wondering, why are we taking all this time and space? Well, as human beings, we're all pretty anxious to get on to the next thing, aren't we? But sometimes God says, just pause and look at this. Look at this for a few minutes. And so this gift of time and silence is a gift to one another. Because if God did bring something to your mind, then the least thing we can do is think about it for a moment. I'd like to invite the ushers up to serve communion. You are the beloved of God. God strongly desires you to live in freedom from the imposters that this world offers. God earnestly desires to regain with you the intimacy that was lost in the Garden of Eden. He desires this so much that in another garden, Jesus, God's Son, and an essential component of the Trinity, agonized in prayer and ultimately surrendered what the world offered and embraced his true nature and purpose for being amongst us, to give his life on the cross. But just a few hours before, on that same night, Jesus was betrayed. And even so, he took the bread in his hands, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, broken for you. Keep doing this so that you and all who come after you will have a vivid reminder of me." And after they had finished dinner, he took the cup. And in the same way, he said, "This cup is the new covenant signed in my blood. Keep doing this. And whenever you do, think of it as a vivid reminder of me. Every time you taste this bread, and every time you place the cup to your mouth to drink, you are proclaiming Jesus' death, which is the ultimate expression of his faithfulness and love until he comes again." I'd like to invite you to come forward and receive the juice and the cracker. And I have some prompts on the screen. And when you get back to your seat, take a moment, look at the prompts, and consider. Think of who Jesus is and what he did for you, what he's doing now, and what is to come. Think of being forgiven, confessing, and most importantly, receiving forgiveness. Think of how completely dependent you are on God and recommit to surrendering. Take time to reflect. Ask Jesus to reveal hindrances and obstacles that you've allowed in the way of your relationship. Think of others. Is there anyone with whom you're in conflict? Commit to attempt to see that person as God sees him or her, because he sees them as beloved as well. Ask God for the grace to forgive. Think of yourself. Do you love yourself? Are you at peace with who you are? Have you come to terms with your own brokenness? And can you begin to see yourself as God sees you? As his treasured possession, his very beloved. Come forward, receive the elements of communion. And at this table, everyone is welcome. And then when you get back to your seats, take a moment. There is no rush. Consider the prompts on the screen. Maybe one draws you to it more than another. Spend time on it. and then take communion when you will. And we'll allow a few minutes for this. Come forward when you're ready. Thank you. I'd like to close the service with a prayer of St. Ignatius of Loyola. Read the words silently as they appear on the screen and sit with them for the moment. The words all may seem a bit overwhelming to you, but remember the widow's mite. She gave what she could, not what she couldn't. And so if, when you read the word all, in reality, it is a very small part, God sees that as a very precious gift because it's all that you have to give. As you read this prayer, if it is the cry of your heart, or even if you wish it were, let's read it together. Take, Lord, receive all my liberty, my memory, my understanding, my whole will, all that I have, and all that I possess. You gave it all to me, Lord. I give it back to you, to do with as you will, according to your good pleasure. Give me your love and your grace, for with this I have all that I need. This concludes our service. Linger if you wish. When you're ready, go in peace.